Next, The Lawyer You Know with Clearwater attorney Peter Tragos.
Welcome back to another episode of The Lawyer You Know, and today we're going to be talking about traffic stops. I've got my dad here, so we're going to go through a bunch of different scenarios about what you have to do during a traffic stop, what you don't have to do, and then we're also going to talk about what you should do. So it's not all what's illegal or what's, you know, according to the rules or statutes or what cops make you do, but sometimes you should just do the right thing because it's the right thing and it'll keep you out of trouble. So that's kind of what we're going to talk about in the end. But to start off, Dad, why don't you give us kind of what a definition is of a traffic stop?
Well, you are obviously driving a motor vehicle and you're on a public highway. And a law enforcement officer puts on their lights or other emergency sirens, those kinds of things, and indicates to you that you need to pull over in a safe way in order for the officer to approach you on foot. So that's a lawful, that's the normal way it happens.
So are you considered detained or stopped, like you can't leave? What kind of elements of that are important for a traffic stop?
Well, if a legitimate order, you got a legitimate order from a law enforcement officer, you are supposed to obey it. So if you're pulling over, again, everybody should realize having a driver's license in Florida is not a right, it's a privilege. So you're granted the privilege of driving on a public highway. So therefore, if you're pulled over, you are required to pull over. Not pulling over is another crime called fleeing and eluding, where you're trying to avoid the officer, and you can be arrested for that and put in jail for that. In some cases, it could be even a felony.
Right, and that's important because if you're detained, certain protections constitutionally come into play. So when they pull you over, you are considered detained because you can't just leave. You have to stay at that traffic stop, right? And when you sign your driver's license, at least in Florida and a lot of other states, you agree to do something like that. You also agree to take a breathalyzer if you get pulled over and the cop asks you to because he has reason to believe it's a DUI. So there are certain things you agree to that if you break those laws or break those agreements, you could lose your driver's license and it could be considered a crime. So now that we've kind of defined what a traffic stop is, why don't we give some reasons for some lawful traffic stops? As simple as a speed when you're speeding.
Speeding ticket, a headlight out, the fact that you are weaving between lanes, the fact that you're following too closely. There's a whole list of traffic violations, which are, you know, lawful reasons to be stopped.
So those are a lot of those are you're not obeying the rules of the road. Right?
Right.
But then there are also other reasons like a warrant out for your arrest or a bolo on that car, right? That's a lawful reason for a traffic stop. If you're in a stolen car, whether you know it or not, the cop can lawfully pull you over even if you're doing the speed limit and you're not breaking any traffic laws, right?
That's correct.
Anything else like that?
Well, a lot of times a cop can pull you over for what's known welfare checks is another one.
But what is a legitimate reason for a welfare check? They have to see you like dozing off in your car.
Dozing on the car, or you're bouncing your head off the steering wheel, or you're acting, you look like you're acting crazy, or they see you drinking an open container of alcohol from a beer bottle.
Or the person in the front seat is swinging on you or doing something to distract you. They can pull you over for that for a wellness check as well.
Right.
Okay, so those are some legitimate reasons for traffic stops. Let's talk about some illegitimate reasons that people get stopped in a traffic stop that you've beaten in the past in criminal cases, because a lot of times this is a big aspect of a DUI. If you're unlawfully stopped, then the entire the fruit of the poisonous tree is what we call it. If the stop is illegal, even if a crime is proved thereafter, that crime goes away because you were unlawfully stopped. Meaning they pull you over and you have drugs in the car, but the reason they pulled you over was illegitimate, the drug charge goes away. If you get a DUI, but the reason they pulled you over was illegitimate, the DUI goes away. If you have a gun in your car, the crime goes away if the stop was not legitimate. So what are some illegitimate reasons that people have been pulled over for in the past?
Well, one is when you look at the police report on a stop where they made a subsequent arrest for something else other than traffic, one of the keys are, was there a ticket issued? And if there was no violation cited by the police officer, like speeding or something like that, then you have to be suspicious as to why they made the stop. Because the stop has to be lawful for the search to be lawful, for the arrest to be lawful on the other crime.
And so, some people just think of searches as searching the car, but it can also be searching the person. So, right, smelling the alcohol, seeing something in their pocket, making them get out of the car, stuff like that is still part of a search and seizure. Right.
Rolling down the window and smelling marijuana in the car, those kind of things, because it has to be a lawful stop. So there has to be something going on. Following too closely, yet there's no ticket for following too closely. And what is too close is kind of a discretionary thing.
Well, then that usually comes into careless driving. That's usually because everything can be kind of covered by careless driving.
Or you're weaving in your lane.
Within your lane.
Right. In the lane.
Can still be careless driving, technically.
But it actually is not a violation because you have to be crossing different lanes and going back and forth. You pass, but the passing is lawful. You honk your horn, but the honking of the horn, that is not unlawful. These are all things that police officers say, you know, as they write up their reports, and they really try to pack the reports. You can tell they're packing the reports with a whole bunch of reasons, because what the courts have found is, even though there was no ticket issued, or even though it was a speeding ticket and the guy wasn't speeding, if there was another lawful reason to stop the person, the courts have backed up the police officer and making the stop legitimate.
So some other reasons would be racial profiling, right? They see a guy that or a girl that looks like a criminal. I guess it doesn't have to be racial profiling, just some kind of profiling where they think this person is a criminal, right? And the famous one or the most prevalent one would be racial profiling. They think somebody by a certain race or looks a certain way is more likely to be a criminal, so they pull that person over. Totally unlawful. Anything they found, they find will get thrown out.
A while back, I had a case where they found a whole bunch of drugs on a boat. And everybody on the boat was Latin. And they found somebody driving away from the area of the boat that looked Latin. So they stopped him because he looked Latin and was driving away from the boat. Well, that wasn't a lawful stop. Because, again, that was racial profiling. Just because he was Latin, they pulled him over.
Right. And that's usually how it happens is they have some reason to connect the dots, but it's still not a lawful reason. And sometimes they'll put that in the report even saying, well, we saw this guy that looked like he was with this crew of, you know, Latin people with drugs driving the boat away. That to us makes sense that he was probably involved, but that's not a reason to pull somebody over lawfully. Right. So, okay. Any other reasons you can think of for some unlawful stops that you can think of?
Well, again, we look at the constitutional reasons, which are race, sex, religion.
Right.
Those are all the unlawful
profiling,
reasons.
But I'm saying a cop can't just go by a hunch, right?
Right.
But I have got a lot of friends that are cops, and they've said they've pulled people over totally, quote unquote, legitimately, because when they stopped at a stop sign, their front two wheels were past the stop bar. Yeah. And that's technically a violation, and they can pull somebody over for that. Well, and they have made arrests based on those stops. And to me, those are barely legitimate. Well, and we could have a pretty good beef with that if somebody stops just past the stop bar.
We've had cases where they thought the window tinting was too strong.
Right, exactly.
Or they were playing their music.
Yes, the noise violations, right.
Right, that they've been pulled over for those reasons. The Supreme Court, and everybody should realize this when they're in a vehicle, vehicles are different. The Supreme Court says you need a little bit less probable cause on a vehicle because a vehicle is so mobile. So it's not like somebody, you know, your home is really protected from them kicking your door in. But in a vehicle, you don't have as many protections.
So when we talk about the fact that you get stopped, right? So you get pulled over, whether it's for speeding, a taillight out, you're in a stolen car, no matter what, there are certain things that are always the same, right? So when a cop comes up to your window, do you have to roll the window down?
You don't have to roll the window down, but you have to answer his questions. And if he asks you questions and he wants your driver's license, your registration, and your insurance card, I don't know how you give them to him without rolling your window down. There's not a specific law about that, but there is a specific law about cooperating with lawful commands.
So you don't have to roll your window all the way down.
Right.
Right. You'd agree with that. You don't have to get out of your car. Right.
In fact, most law enforcement agencies now do not want you getting out of your car until the officer orders that.
Right.
Yes.
Okay, so you get pulled over, you do have to, you know, have some kind of communication with them, whether it's rolling the window down. You said you have to answer their questions, but you don't mean answer all of their questions,
no.
Right? You mean specific questions.
Well, no, actually, there's two ways to look at this. Driver's license, insurance card, and registration, you're supposed to have those in your car. So if the officer asks you for those, you're supposed to give them the officer. That's a lawful command.
But you don't have to say anything.
Well, the other side is, what if you don't have your registration, your driver's license, or your insurance card? At that point, you do have the right to remain silent and not tell him you don't have those cards.
Okay. So I get what you're saying, because it was technically criminal.
Right.
So, okay. So, but again, you don't have to answer the officer's questions like you said. What you meant was obey lawful commands.
Right.
Because if he asks you a question, you don't have to answer any question that he asks you, right?
You do not. And that's when you talk about detained before.
Right.
That's a real key about being detained, because when you're detained, that's when your constitutional rights come into play with the what's called the Miranda warning, right to remain silent and all that.
Right to an attorney, things like that.
Correct.
Right.
And that's another thing that people a lot of times refuse to answer. When they have a question, one of the first questions should be, if they have a concern, is, am I free to leave? And if the officer says you are not free to leave, well, then you are being detained and you have constitutional rights. If he says yes, then you can turn on your car and drive away.
Right. And I think that, you know, that's why a lot of people ask that, am I being detained? Am I being arrested for something?
Can I leave?
Yeah. Can I leave? Right. That's what people, well, I mean, a lot of people that are smart, Alex, like to say stuff like, am I being detained? Am I being detained? And think that they're making some legal argument. But what they're trying to do is, you know, put the pressure on the cops and things like that, which leads us to our next question. Are you legally allowed to record law enforcement when they pull you over?
Yes, it is a public place. A lot of times law enforcement is going to be recording you with body cams.
Regardless of that, though, you're allowed to record law enforcement with your phone, with a GoPro, whatever it may be. Now,
unless your video is obstructing justice.
Right, exactly.
Somehow.
And so that's what I was going to say. Or, you know, we'll talk about what kind of movements you should or should not make. So you shouldn't just grab your a black box from your pocket that nobody knows what it is necessarily right when you get pulled over. But if you already have a GoPro recording, or you already have your phone out recording with your hands, you know, on your steering wheel, whatever. So, okay, so you don't necessarily have to answer the officer's questions, but we'll talk about what you should do at the end. So you don't have to answer the officer's questions. You don't have to get out of the car. You don't have to roll down your window unless the officer commands you to get out of the car, then you do have to get out of the car, right?
Right. If it's a lawful command, yes.
Right. And sometimes for that is they smell alcohol, they see a beer in your cup holder, whatever it may be, they can command you to get out of the car. At that point, though, you can ask if you're being detained, and usually they'll say something like yes, right? I mean, if they're commanding you to get out of the car, you refuse, and then you ask if you're getting detained, the officer's got to make a decision at that point if they are going to detain you because they think they have enough just based on that to arrest you for something. Then they can detain you, even if it's just as simple as an open container.
Normally, again, we're talking Florida and generally law enforcement. Now, things have changed in the last couple of years. If they ask you to get out of the vehicle, there's a reason they're asking you to get out of the vehicle.
Right.
Now they want you to stay in the vehicle. They want you to stay there. When they give you a ticket, normal circumstance, most people who've gotten tickets realize they never got out of their car to get the ticket. The officer got their license and the information, went back to his car, went on his computer, checked for warrants and checked for violations of your vehicle, came back and gave you the ticket if he found no violations on his computer.
Okay, so let's kind of take the next step now. Officer asks if he can search your vehicle. Let's first just an overarching theme. Do you have to let an officer search your vehicle?
You do not. You have a Fourth Amendment right to refuse that search. If it's, again, just a request, search the vehicle, you have a right to say no.
And what if the officer searches your vehicle with his eyes as he's walking through, just looking through the windows? Is that lawful?
That's called the plain view doctrine, which means that you can actually stand there, look in the car. If he's in a lawful place, which is outside your vehicle, and he is able to look into your vehicle, whatever he sees is fair game. And if he does see something that looks like evidence of a crime, he doesn't need your permission anymore to search the vehicle, because then he has a right to search for evidence of a crime.
Is it lawful for a law enforcement officer to say, let me search your vehicle or I will arrest you?
Well, he can say it, but he can't mean it.
But he's allowed to say it? I don't think they're allowed to lie.
Yes, they are.
As far as threatening, I don't think they can threaten.
It's not a voluntary waiver, which is what I think you're getting to. Is if you succumb to a search based on a threat,
so then you'd be able to challenge the search.
You could challenge the search.
So can a law enforcement officer do it? I guess the answer is yes, they can do everything, but it's not legal. Is my point. They can't threaten criminal action against you that they wouldn't otherwise take in order to violate your rights.
That's right.
Right. So again, now proving that would happen, that'd be nice to have a camera or a body cam where you actually say no. And then he says, well, then I'm going to arrest you. But if you let me search the car, maybe I won't arrest you. They can't do stuff like that because that's, you know, enticing somebody to do it.
And there's another aspect of that in that they can make you stay there if they have suspicion that there's a crime. And you say, no, I'm not going to let you search. They can say, well, remain here. And then they will bring, for instance, a drug-sniffing dog. They'll bring that to the location where they stopped you. They'll have the dog go around and sniff.
Is that considered a search?
Yes, it is.
Right.
The dog goes around and sniffs, finds marijuana, and then they go get a search warrant to search your car because that gives them probable cause. But they can detain you at that location to wait for a dog to come.
Let's get into guns now a little bit. When talking about searching your car and talking about a traffic stop, a big thing, especially in Florida, is if you have a gun in the car. So there's multiple ways you can have a gun in the car. Let's start with the lawful reasons that you can have a gun in a car and what you should do. So first is, let's say you do have a carry concealed weapons permit. What do you do when you get pulled over in a traffic stop and you have a gun on your person with the carry concealed permit? Do you have to tell law enforcement legally?
Legally, you do not have to tell law enforcement that you have a gun if you have... Well, actually, you never have to tell them legally that you're not forced to.
Right.
That,
so... Yeah,
we're talking the law now as opposed to practical.
We're going to get to what we should do at the end.
Right.
So you don't have to tell them that you have a gun with a carry concealed permit. What if you don't have a carry concealed permit? Are there other lawful ways to have a gun in your car?
Yes.
Okay, what are those ways?
One way is if you're transporting the gun to or from a lawful activity like hunting or going to the shooting range, those kind of things, you can lawfully have the, or going from your car to your work or home to your work, you can have a gun in your car. However, that gun, if you're going to carry it in a concealed manner, has to be in a situation where it takes more than one movement. It's not easily accessible is the way the statute looks at it. So you have to be able to, for instance, if I can give some examples, glove compartment. You have to put it in your glove compartment. You close the glove compartment. Glove compartment doesn't have to be locked. The mere fact that you have to open your glove compartment in order to get to the gun makes it so that it's not easily accessible. Put it in your trunk. Put it in a lockbox that you keep in the car. Those are things
that allow
you...
What about just keeping it unloaded? And you have to take the step to load it.
That also would qualify as not having a concealed weapon because it takes more than one movement.
Right. And you kind of said concealed two different ways, but the carry concealed usually means on your person that you can use it. Concealing it in this way, you mean one step away from being able to use it, like quote unquote concealed. But what you mean is put in your glove box or put in your armrest or put in the pocket behind the seat or whatever it may be to where it takes a step to use.
It's not unusual for someone who's really into guns to have a carry concealed weapons permit, have a gun on his person, and to also have a gun maybe in the glove compartment or in the trunk because they have multiple guns. So you'd have both situations with that person.
And there's nothing lawfully or nothing illegal if you don't tell the cop about all the guns in your car when you get pulled over for a speeding ticket.
That is correct.
Okay. Now, what if you have a gun illegally on your person, in your car? Do you have to tell the cop that you have that gun in your car?
You do not. You do not have to say anything.
That's another Fifth Amendment right issue.
Correct.
You have the right to remain silent. So that's basically guns. Okay, then same thing. Anything illegal in the car, drug paraphernalia, weapons, alcohol, whatever, you do not have to tell the cop that that's in your car.
Correct.
Okay. Anything else you can think of that cops ask or do in a traffic stop that either you legally have to do or don't have to do?
Well, normally cops don't ask you if you're carrying a weapon in a traffic stop, getting a speeding ticket. That's not the norm.
But I'm saying anything else that you can think of that the law says you have to do or you don't have to do based on a traffic stop that we haven't already talked about.
Well, one is if you get a ticket, a lot of people don't realize this, and they ask you to sign the ticket. And if you don't sign the ticket, you're actually subject to arrest because you're required to sign the ticket. The ticket is not an admission that you were speeding or whatever. It is just a verification that you got the citation. So another thing people don't realize is, because I know I've had people that refuse to sign the ticket, and there's really no reason to refuse to sign the ticket.
You're not admitting anything by signing the ticket.
Right, but that is something you're required to do.
So that leads to a good question then that just came to me. If you get a ticket for speeding, for careless driving, whatever it may be, does the officer now have the right to search your car incident to giving you that ticket?
No.
Because it's not an arrest.
It's not an arrest, correct. Right.
So that's a big difference people don't understand for the most part is if you're getting arrested for even something as simple as marijuana or an open container, whatever it may be, even reckless driving, because that could be considered a misdemeanor in some states. So if you're getting arrested for an actual crime or because sometimes they write you a written ticket for possession of marijuana, right?
Yes.
I mean, you don't have to be arrested and taken to jail. They can just give you kind of
a notice of appearance.
Right. And they make you come to court later, but it's so not serious that they're not even arresting people for it anymore. But you don't actually get handcuffed to put in the back of the car. But if you are arrested and even just given that written ticket or, you know, written arrest for possession of marijuana, now they can search your car for marijuana. They can't search your car for, you know, anything and everything, but they can search your car for marijuana and drugs like that, right?
And but also, if they're there looking for marijuana and they stumble on something else,
that's a good search.
That's a good search.
Legal search. Right. We call it a good search, right? That is a legal search. So, big difference by getting a traffic citation like a ticket and an actual arrest for a criminal charge, even if it's simple, because one allows them to search your car, one doesn't, right?
Right.
All right, let's transition. Is there anything else you can think of that we haven't talked about yet?
Well, I think that in Florida, tickets are citations. There's a difference. And I think you alluded to it in the fact that at some point you have a ticket, and then the next thing you have a list of things that are actually crimes.
Right.
That aren't tickets.
Right. Okay. Anything else with the stops that I'm talking about? Anything else you have to do or don't have to do legally if you're pulled over by a law enforcement officer?
No.
Okay.
I think that's covered.
Do you have to give them your name?
You do not have to answer any questions. You don't have to because you're giving them your driver's license.
Right. And that's got your name on it.
That's got your name on it.
Okay. But you do have to give them your driver's license.
Yes.
Right. Okay. So let's get into what you should do now. Okay. Cop pulls you over. What should you do? What should your first move be?
Well, you find a safe place to turn. You don't have to stop right in the middle of the highway. You find a safe place, the first opportunity to go over. You stay in your car. The officer will approach your car. An officer should tell you, good practice is for the officer, they tell you why they stopped you. I've stopped you for speeding. I've stopped you because your taillight's out.
Well, a lot of them say, do you know why I stopped you? You do not have to answer that question.
Yeah, because everybody, I want you to think about that. That's an admission. Because you say, do you know why I stopped you? And you go, yeah, I was speeding.
Yeah, then you're done.
Then you're done.
Yeah.
So, do you know why I stopped you? You're better off just not saying anything.
Or say no why. Yeah. I mean, that's fine. That's a fine answer just to say no why.
And so let the officer tell you why you were stopped.
Okay, but what do you do? I'm not as worried about the officer. What do you do with your hands? What do you do with your window? What do you do with your driver's license and registration? Do you have all that ready? Do you show your hands? Do you leave your hands on the steering wheel? Do you put the window all the way down? Assuming you're not committing a crime, right?
Everybody should know that when you're stopped, it's driver's license, insurance card, registration. So you should all know where that is.
But should you get it before the officer comes, or are you searching through your glove box and in your car and looking suspicious when the officer is walking up to your window, or should you just wait till the officer gets there and then look for your stuff?
As a practical matter, again, you should wait. Okay. And the reason you should wait is exactly the reason you just said. Officer comes up and he sees somebody. I've had plenty of cases where an officer approached a car and someone had her purse was on the floor. So she's going down. Officers, it's a dangerous job.
Right.
And if somebody looks like they're reaching under the seat for something, that's going to trigger a reaction by that officer. You don't want to trigger that reaction. You want everything to be calm and professional.
So you're better off waiting till the officer comes to the window and saying, can I get my driver's license in my back pocket? Can I get my registration? It's in my glove box. And telling them before you make each move, right?
And making sure that when the officer is approaching that both of your hands are visible.
Right. And putting them up on the steering wheel is the best way because they can see there's nothing in your hands, or, you know, having them open on the dashboard, whatever it may be. So they can see there's nothing in your hands. See your hands are visible. You're not moving. Don't take off your seatbelt. Because in most states, that's another ticket right there. But in reality, just don't do anything to change your position. Put your hands up so they can see your hands on the steering wheel, whatever. And then ask them before you make each move, right? That would be best practices.
And know where they are ahead of time. Know in your car where those three items are. Because, frankly, I don't know how many DUIs I've had where people... The officer said they fumbled.
Right. And that's always an indication that this person was impaired because they couldn't even get their driver's license or their whatever
they
ready.
They fumbled around. Right. They didn't know where they were. You know, all of those things contribute to a DUI arrest. So know where they are. make it easy for you to find those items to give them to the police
officer. Okay, so once you do all that stuff, what are best practices as far as answering their questions? Which questions would you answer? Which questions would you not? Now, if you've committed a crime or something's going on in your car, criminal activity, don't answer anything. That's our blanket statement. But if you haven't and you don't know what's going on, you think you just got pulled over for speeding, whatever it may be, what questions would you answer, best practices, and would you let them search your car? Would you let them do all that stuff? What are the best practices as far as what's the best interaction with a law enforcement officer when you've been pulled over?
I think that if you want information from the officer, I think you should ask questions, not make admissions. There's a difference. Officer, you say I was speeding. How fast was I going? How did you know how fast? Was it, you know, was it radar?
So you would do that?
Yes, I would do that.
I would not. My best practice would be, no, I don't know why I was pulled over. Why? Let them tell you why. And that's it. I mean, I'll give them my driver's license. I'll give them my registration. I'll give them whatever they want. But I'm not really saying anything else. I'm not answering any questions. I'm not letting them search my car. I assume you're not either.
No, I wouldn't.
Yeah. No matter what, even if I'm not committing a crime, which I never am, I'm not letting them search my car ever. For any reason, unless they force me to. Now, once they tell me they're going to search my car or they're arresting me, fine. You can search my car at that point, but I'm never giving anybody permission to search my car.
Don't do the waiver. Don't tell them you can search my car ever.
Ever.
Even if you're under arrest, that's their decision.
Right. So just make sure that you always say no. And if they're going to do it, they're going to do it. It doesn't matter. You can't stop them. They've got a gun and they're the law. So if they're going to search your car, fine, but I'm never letting them.
Another warning to people. Watch the gun the officer has. Has he unclipped the gun? Does he have his hand on his gun? Those are all signs that maybe he's a little suspicious of what you're doing, so be careful.
Continuing on with best practices. Again, if I have anything illegal in the car or something illegal is going on in the car, I'm not saying anything. I'll give the driver's license registration. I'm not opening my mouth, okay? Now, let's talk about guns. Illegal gun in the car, you're obviously not saying anything, not doing anything. If you have a carry concealed permit, let's talk about that, and you've got a gun on your person in a holster, whatever it may be, what are best practices? What would you advise people to do that had a gun on their hip?
If you really want to be careful, and you should if you have that situation, is you show your hands outside your window and tell the officer, "Officer, I have a permit. I have a concealed weapon on my person."
So you actually would say that. That would be your best practices and advice.
Yes.
I agree. And I think the number one reason is for safety. Because God forbid you do get arrested for something, or the officer thinks you're drinking and now the officer's doing something where he's taking you out of the car, and then boom, he sees the gun on your hip that you didn't tell him about. Now you've created a situation that could be problematic, could be scary for the officer as far as his, you know, welfare and safety. He or she is just trying to do their job. So, you know, from that perspective, I think best practice is absolutely to tell them you have a gun on your person, you have your permit. And you can show them your permit. That's another thing. You got to always have that permit on you.
You have to have it on you, right?
So you show them that permit. So it just dispels any angst or any problems with the officer. You can show, you can tell them where the gun is. It's on my right hip. It's on my left hip. It's in my pocket. It's in my back, wherever it is. And you can just kind of dispel those problems, right?
Normally, the officer will just ask you for your permit and leave it at that. Sometimes they may ask you to get out of the car. Then you just get out of the car. You know, there's no reason to give them any grief because you've lawfully got that gun.
Right. And I think it's best practice to tell them where the gun is.
Right.
Just so you can say, the gun's on my left hip. I'm going to get my wallet, which is in my right back pocket, so they don't think you're reaching for the gun. Just be as, if you have a gun on you, that creates a certain vibe in the situation. So to dispel that, just be slow. Explain every movement you have. Explain how you're not reaching for your gun. You're just reaching for your phone to get your, you know, because a lot of people have their proof of insurance on their phone now. So whatever it may be, just explain your movements methodically. Next, let's talk about lawfully transporting the gun, either in a lockbox, in your glove box, with that one step so it's not easily accessible and usable. What would you do in that situation? Would you tell the law enforcement officer that you have a gun in the car? Would you tell him where it is? Would you take those steps if it's not on your person?
Yes. I would tell them there are other weapons in the car. Those weapons are lawfully contained in a zipper bag, glove compartment, trunk, just so he knows. Because, again, the officer is in a dangerous situation. Normally, they're there by themselves with no backup, so they have to be particularly careful. And we all know the horror stories that have occurred at traffic stops.
So I don't think I would. I think my best practice would be if you have it locked away one step, not on your person, I probably just wouldn't say anything about it, only because I don't know enough about guns. I'm not a big gun guy. I have a gun at my house. That's it. I never take it anywhere. I would be worried. Maybe I was doing something wrong. Maybe I don't have it locked right. Maybe I don't have the right one step. Maybe it's too accessible. I don't think I would say anything if it wasn't on my person. I would just let it be. If it continued where the cop was going to search my car because I'm getting arrested, then I would let him know that I have a gun lawfully in the car so that he wouldn't be surprised when he found it. But I think that's taking a little too many steps and explaining stuff and over speaking to the officer, just kind of opening the door for potential problems that you didn't even know existed, because there's no reason safety wise to tell him there's a gun in the car if it's not on your person and you can't just grab it and use it.
That's just kind of
a difference of opinion.
It is. I would be more transparent.
Is there too long of a time that makes a traffic stop now illegal? Like, how long can they stop you for?
There's no specific time limit, no really bright line. It's what the courts think is reasonable for what you're doing. So the officer pulls you over for speeding, but then keeps you there for 2 or 3 hours waiting for a drug dog with no reason to wait for that drug dog. Courts have thrown that out where the drug dog has come and done the search and found drugs.
Which brings us to a good point of advice. Don't argue with the cops. Don't argue with the law enforcement officer. If you want to document it, if you want to film it, fine. Let the lawyers argue with it. If you do get arrested for something that was totally unreasonable and totally unlawful, let your lawyer argue about it. You really aren't going to get anywhere if you argue with the cop and try to argue law with him and argue police procedure with him or her. It's not going to get you anywhere being argumentative.
Yeah. If you don't think that the traffic stop is lawful or what the officer's doing is lawful, you can't do anything about it.
You can't convince them otherwise. So that's just really not a good tack to take. You just move on, call your lawyer at the end, call a lawyer at the end, and just tell them what happened and let them deal with it.
You're not going to change the law enforcement's mind about what he's doing.
Okay, so to finish up, let's talk about passengers in your car. You get pulled over. What are the rights of your passengers versus your rights? What are your responsibilities if it's your car? You're driving it, you own it, your passengers are there. Can they waive your rights? Can you waive their rights? Talk a little bit about what the rights of the passenger are.
Well, as the owner of the car or the driver of the car, you're presumed to know what's in the car. So there's an initial presumption. Now, if it's something within the personal control of your passenger, like a purse or a backpack or something like that, normally the presumption doesn't go on to those things. But the passenger then has their own Fifth Amendment right. So you can waive a right to search the car, but you can't waive a right to search someone's personal belongings like their purse again. A purse is always a common example in these cases. But they can waive the right to search their own purse. And if the law enforcement officer has a probable cause to believe there's something in that purse, like drugs, they can then seize the purse and search the purse. So there's a kind of an aura around the individual and then around the whole car.
So do you get arrested as well if somebody has drugs on their person, in their pocket, in their purse, if it's inside your car?
Normally not, but it does happen.
So a lot of times the classic law school example is there'll be drugs in the glove box or in the armrest.
Center console.
Right. And you can't tell whose they are. So everybody can get arrested unless somebody says it was theirs. You know, you'd probably think the person driving and owning the car would be most likely, but it could potentially fall on everybody in the car if they all knew it was there or whatever it may be. So that's kind of a weird thing. But can a passenger say that the cop can search the car?
No, the passenger cannot waive the right to search the car if they don't drive it, control it, or own it.
Right. Can the driver of the car waive the right for the cop to search the person of a passenger?
They cannot do that either.
Right.
Fourth Amendment protects your individual rights.
Right. So everybody has their own individual right to protection from their person and their purse and backpack and stuff that's theirs. But the interior of the car, the trunk, everything like that, is in the control of the person owning or operating the car.
Yes.
Okay, so I think we've hit just about everything and all the questions we've been getting about what do you do when you get pulled over, what's lawful and not lawful, what is a lawful stop. If you guys have any more questions like this, send them in to us via email or our social media at Tragos Law. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast so you can get all these podcasts and understand what's going on and understand what rights you have. We want to put stuff out there that's going to help people understand how to deal with these situations to protect their personal rights. but also to protect law enforcement officers when they get in these situations, because we think if everybody is a little calmer, a little slower, if everything's being recorded, we actually think stuff's going to be safer for law enforcement officers, safer for the citizens, and we hope that's the road we're kind of going down now. So thank you for listening with us today, and we'll be back with you next week.
You have been listening to The Lawyer You Know with Clearwater attorney Peter Tragos. The experienced lawyers at Tragos Sartis & Tragos in Clearwater discuss common legal questions, providing some insights into the legal process, and cover current events as they relate to the legal field. Listen each Tuesday for The Lawyer You Know with Peter Tragos, or download The Lawyer You Know wherever you hear your podcasts.